the relationship I was in. It was a very abusive relationship. I ended up quitting school. And I just was so lost. If I wasn't drinking, then I was high on something. But I knew that there was something better.
Stay-gute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear part one of Sophia Harper's story. Sophia's life was marred by addiction and abuse before she was saved. And though she won't get to that life-changing moment in this episode, you can be sure that there were better days ahead after she met Jesus.
Hello, my name is Sophia Harper. I am from Onion Lake, Saskatchewan, and I'm Plains Cree. I'm the youngest of four children, one brother and two sisters, and then myself. I grew up with my kokum, my grandmother, in my younger years, and on my dad's side of the family. My mom and dad were separated, so I didn't know my mom. And I lived in a group home, on and off. My dad was a single parent, and my older siblings had all gone to residential school. I was too young to be in school, so I was at home with my dad. And just back and forth from the group home to my dad's, to my grandmother's, to my kokum's house. And it was just a life like that until my teens, when I was 12 years old. I met my mom. I had a relationship. I met her and I got to know her, and I'm very thankful for that. I never had any bad feelings toward her, because I didn't know what, if you didn't miss something and you didn't know about it, it's not a big deal. I was just happy to know her. And so when I was 12 years old, I moved to another reserve with my sister, because my parents were drinking. I was staying with my dad first, and then my mom started drinking, so my sister came and got me. And I lived with my sister, and she was 18 years old, and she had her first child. And I stayed with her till I was 16. And those times were really good for me, because I was actually able to be a kid. I was able to have fun with my friends, go to school, just enjoy being a kid. And my Musum passed away, and a cousin of mine and myself were told that we needed to go back home to Onion Lake to take care of my kokum, because there was nobody to take care of her. So I moved back home when I was 16, and it wasn't a chore for me. I actually really was so thankful, and I just loved to be with my kokum, because she was more like a mother figure to me in my life. And I lived with her in the elder's lodge and made meals for her. And I was in school, and I really just enjoyed that time with my kokum. It was just a precious time for me. And when I was small, my kokum used to make us pray, and we'd get on our knees and we would pray in Cree, and she would always talk about God. So I knew of God. I didn't know of Jesus Christ, but I knew there was a God. I always had a sense of God in my life. When I turned 18, she told me that I'm too young to be with old people, because we moved into the elder's lodge. And I didn't mind, actually. I just enjoyed being with all the elders, just I just loved it. But she was getting sick, and she knew that, so I think she wanted to keep me from that. So the only reason I moved to Onion Lake was to take care of her. So when she was leaving, I didn't want to stay there anymore because my dad was drinking so much, and my brother had his family, his kids, and I was just kind of, I felt I was in the way. So my dad had worked for friends in Alberta, in Hobima, and I had gone there that summer prior to help him out working, and before I had left, that family asked me, told me if I ever wanted to move to go to school there, they would welcome me. And I didn't take a second thought of that. But after my kokum died, I mean, after she moved, I didn't want to stay in Onion Lake. So I phoned this couple and I asked them if I could go to school there. And they accepted me and they said yes. So I moved to Hobima when I was in grade 11 and I just turned 18. Didn't know anybody other than that couple, and I went to school and met a young man and got into a relationship with him. And I kind of got in trouble. I got kicked out of the house because he came to the house drunk. And there I was, 18 years old and in a different province, no family and nowhere to go. And I didn't know what to do, and he asked me to move in with him. So I stayed with him till I was just before I turned 21. And that time of my life was just a very dark time in my life. I got very, very deep into the drug and drinking life. The relationship I was in was a very abusive relationship. I ended up quitting school. And I just was so lost. If I wasn't drinking, then I was high on something. But I knew that there was something better. And when I was small, my gokum, when I remember one time I was playing by her feet on the floor. I was playing with my dolls and she was sewing. And she used to tell me things about life, how to be as a wife, what to do. And I used to think, oh, Gokum, why are you telling me all these things? I'm just a little girl. But those memories come back to me. And one thing that she had told me is that the first man you live with is the man you die with. So basically, she was telling me about commitment. And when I got into this relationship, I took that into my life and I committed myself to this man, even though we weren't married. He didn't want to marry me and I wanted to have kids. I wanted to be married, but he wasn't. That wasn't his plan. And I thought that I could love this guy enough to change him, that we could have that life. And so I stayed and I put up with the lifestyle and just got right into it. And there was a point where in my life I looked at myself. It's like I was stepping back and looking and seeing, is this what my life really is about? And we had a big fight, and it was a beautiful day. It was a spring day where the sun was shining. It was just warm. It was just beautiful. But inside, I was just dying, and I was dead. And we got into a big fight, and he left, and I came out in the back patio, and I was just crying, and I looked up to the sky and I was just crying and I fell on my knees and I just didn't like my life anymore. I couldn't stand living the life I was living. And I looked up to the sky and I said, God, if there's a God out there, I said, help me leave this man. If you can hear me, just help me leave. And I waited, and waiting for lightning or a voice or something to show that God heard me. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear a thing. So I thought God didn't hear me. So I walked back into the house and just carried on with my life and went inside. And God did hear me. He was just waiting for me to call out to him. I remember I used to phone my mom, Colette. She was the only one I would call. And I phoned her and I said, Mom, I said, I don't know what I do. I don't even do anything and this guy keeps on getting mad at me. And I just needed someone to tell me that they cared, or I just needed someone to tell me something. And my mom, I phoned her and I said, Mom, I don't know what to do. And she told me something that just really helped me walk away. And then she goes, you don't need to stay there. You're not married to him. And that commitment I had in my mind was broken, and I was able to leave and I walked away. I moved back home to my reserve in the fall. And when I moved home, I went back to school. But because I was never allowed to go anywhere. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. When I moved home, all I did was carry on my lifestyle of drinking and going out.
None of us could control the circumstances that we were born into. And for some of us, well, let's just say that things didn't get off to a great start. But whether you've had a troubled youth like Sophia or not, we all share the same problem. It's called sin. Sin is anything that offends our Creator. God tells us in His Word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, our sin doesn't just cause pain and shame now. One day we will give an account to our Creator and face the eternal consequences we deserve. But it doesn't have to be that way. In part two of Sophia's story, you'll hear how she was forgiven and set free, and how you can be too, if you'll humble yourself and put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Sophia's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.